Hey, thank you, Kane. 807 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday. By the way, just 1 week out from the runoff for primaries here in the state of Alabama. Talk more about that. Also coming up in just a second, Quinn Hillier joins us to talk more about Brett Kavanaugh. And we'll get that in just a second. I want to give you a heads up. Mentioned this the other day. Original Oyster House has a chance for you to enjoy dinner, enjoy sunset, and also win at exactly the same time. A trifecta. It's no secret that the Alabama Gulf Coast claims the most breathtaking sunsets in the area. So to confirm this, the Original Oyster House is running a contest to find the best sunset photo taken from either of the two waterfront locations, Causeway location or in Gulf Shores. Think about your setting there. You've got, of course, the Delta in the north end of the bay there on the Causeway. Little Lagoon down in Gulf Shores. And here's what you do. You go take a picture of sunsetting either from inside the Original Oyster House or just outside the Original Oyster House, and you take that picture and then you post it on their Facebook page, and you could win dinner for two up to a $50 value and other great prizes, including an Original Oyster House tote bag filled with goodies. This goes through August 31st. That's the deadline from now to August 31st. To enter, you got to be 18 years old or older, visit either Original Oyster House location during sunset, take that photo, and then post it up. Facebook.com/Original Oyster House with the hashtag OOH Sunset. Okay? And then you can promote it. You can campaign for likes, tagging, posting to your Facebook page as well as the Original Oyster House Facebook page, sharing that and getting your friends to, you know, support you here. Make sure, though, take that picture at either the Causeway or the Gulf Shores location, post it to the Facebook page for the Original Oyster House, and hashtag it OOH Sunset. Original Oyster House and their Sunset Spectacular Contest. Check it out. All right. Last night, it was about 8:23 or so our time when the president got around to saying the name of the person who would take the gig if he had his druthers. I like to just say druthers, as the president rolling out the story for his nomination of Brett Kavanaugh.
It is my honor and privilege to announce that I will nominate Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the United States Supreme Court.
And now we bring on Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com, author of Mad Jones Heretic, and somebody who actually has firsthand knowledge of Brett Kavanaugh. Hey, Quinn.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Quinn.
Yes, I haven't known Brett Kavanaugh well, but I've known him a long, long time, going back at least to 1997. And in 2006, how many of y'all have seen these photos have been all over the place? Kavanaugh in the Rose Garden, getting his investiture to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals from W. Bush with Justice Kennedy standing there. Have y'all seen those photos?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was about 25 feet away. I was there at the ceremony, not as a media person, but as Brett Kavanaugh's guest.
How'd you work that? Hey, how'd you work that deal?
Well, I did not work that deal. he invited me as his guest because I had played a small but clearly significant enough role in getting him confirmed. He was, for all intents and purposes, the very last of the so-called controversial judicial nominees of W. Bush to make it through the filibuster gauntlet of the Senate before the Democrats completely stopped confirming any semi-controversial judges. And I had done a series of editorials and columns that pointed out stuff nobody else was pointing out about why Brett should be confirmed, and it made a difference. They chose Brett as the very last one they would let get through, in part because of my work. So
there you go.
So he invited me to lunch a few days before the investiture, and invited me to the investiture, and I've watched his career ever since. But we go back to when I was heavily into all things Clinton and Whitewater, and he was on Ken Starr's Whitewater Committee. I mean, not Whitewater Committee, Whitewater Investigations Team. And I got, let's just say, I got to know him then. He's said several years later, I was perfectly okay to go on the record that he was one of my sources, and he was a source that was actually very, very fair to the Clintons, even though he was on the prosecuting team. So.
And that's part of it, because I want to walk through, last night when the president announced Brett Kavanaugh, it's the nomination that launched 1,000 ships, right? As people from the left and far right all were condemning Kavanaugh, and the left, it was, I don't even thought out. I think Alex Pappas's tweet last night said a lot, where the Women's March Group already had their statement against the nomination of blank, and they put it out that way. They'd already written it up, and they were just insert the name, and they forgot to insert the name. So that didn't surprise me. Those on the right opposing Kavanaugh, it surprised me a little bit, but what is this? I mean, why, he seems like, in what I have seen, somebody who is fair, who is, who takes the rule of law seriously and doesn't bend with the wind.
Look, the by all traditional measures, he should be confirmed. The nominee of a president is traditionally has enjoyed a sort of a supposition, mm-hmm. a presumption in his favor. That doesn't mean you automatically approve him, but the presumption goes like this: if somebody is qualified, and in this case, Brett is superbly qualified, if they have no ethical problems, which he doesn't, and if they are just anywhere within the very broad mainstream, then they should get confirmed. Brett checks those boxes easily. And, in terms of qualifications, you can't top him. Not even Neil Gorsuch could top Brett's resume, and he's a very good and decent human being on top of that, so he should be confirmed easily. But people have gotten to where every little ideological problem with a nominee becomes a reason to oppose them, and that's what both sides are doing.
Quinn, I've seen people on both sides. I've seen conservatives say that this was not a conservative enough selection for the Supreme Court. And I've seen charts and some liberals that say that Kavanaugh will be one of the farthest right Supreme Court justices. So if confirmed, where do you think he actually lies in relation to these to the other justices that are already on the Supreme Court?
I really put him about where Roberts is. I would not be surprised if he's even at tick from the Roberts side towards Kennedy, which means he was not at all my first choice. I have, obviously had good reason to pay close attention to his career on the court since I advocated so strongly for him to get confirmed, and he has not been my favorite judge, and I made it known behind the scenes that I would prefer others. Not that my voice means that much these days. But that said, he is certainly not much to the right of, and I would think more little to the left of, in some ways, John Roberts. He's about where John Roberts is.
All right, I'll tell you what, we're running the break. I want to come back because I want to ask you the key question here. Is he confirmable? That's the, that's the question. You often look at things and say, well, people may have their dream picks for a position. I know the presumption you're talking about, but that doesn't bear as much weight in today's political climate. Is he confirmable? We'll ask that question, get the answer from Quinn Hillier when we come right back. 816 FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings.
Hey, thank you, Kane. 822 here on FM Talk 106.5. This segment of Mobile Mornings brought to you by LinkedIn. Right hire can have a huge impact on your business. That's why it's crucial that you make sure your job post reaches the most qualified candidates that you can reach. You could try posting on job boards, but do you really know who sees those postings? When you post your job on LinkedIn, it reaches 70% of the U.S. workforce. And unlike those job boards, LinkedIn is actually a community that career-focused people visit every day to grow professionally and explore new job opportunities. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets candidates based on their skills, their recommendations, even how open they are to new opportunities like yours. And those insights are only available on the LinkedIn network. The result is that your post is matched to the best people for the job. That's probably why a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. And right now, you can go to LinkedIn.com/WAVH to get $50 off your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/WAVH for $50 off. Terms and conditions do apply. LinkedIn, you're closer than you think.
Right, 823 FM Talk 106.5. Continue our conversation with Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com, also the author of Mad Jones Heretic, and Brett Kavanaugh, the dissection of the life and times of Brett Kavanaugh going on this morning. Quinn, confirmable or not?
Yes, but it's going to be a close call. As a matter of fact, if you made me, you know, put down a ton of money...
Yes, I am. I'm forcing you.
Yes, I would say he gets confirmed only with the tie-breaking vote of Mike Pence. I think that in the end, every Democrat will vote against him, and I think that either Susan Collins or Rand Paul from Republicans will vote against him. I believe that John McCain will either find some way to get there to vote for him or will have resigned so that a Republican replacement can vote for him. And I see a 50-50 tie broken by Mike Pence, which would put him on the court. How's that for a...
Okay, well, yeah, this is a long way around the Rose Garden there, but, okay, so, as always, dragging my boy Rand Paul into the mix, but also, when you say every Democrat would vote against him, that means Doug Jones of Alabama to vote against Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah, I think the only potential nominee that Doug Jones would have ended up voting for would have been Bill Pryor. Of Alabama. I think there is more to be gained by Doug Jones by playing to his national base and raising his national profile among Democrats than there is by him trying to appease Republicans in Alabama who aren't going to vote for him anyway.
Having trouble hearing you here, Quinn, so just...
Oh, okay. I'm a little hoarse. Sorry about that. I think Doug Jones is probably going to make the national Democratic play rather than the local play. I don't think he should, but I think he's likely to do so.
Is there a possibility that, and I don't know if this is a big no-no in the Senate, but does anyone sit out these votes?
Oh, yeah. It is occasionally done. I don't think it's going to happen this time. I mean, the only one I can see sitting out is John McCain, or maybe there might be a Democrat that does what used to be a tradition when somebody was sick on the other side, they would pair off. Somebody that would vote, that would have voted against, will pair off with the absent person that would have voted for, and they will make a gentleman's agreement for neither to vote. They haven't done that in years. They used to do it all the time.
All right, very good. During the news break, yep. You and Kelly were talking about a lot of discussion here on Kavanaugh. And go ahead and ask that question for everybody.
Thank you. So there's a tweet that's trending right now. I mean, every time I look down, it's being retweeted. It's from Jeff Bennett. He's a reporter with NBC from a national news standpoint. And he says that source familiar tells NBC that Justice Kennedy had been in negotiations with the Trump team for months over Kennedy's replacement. Once Kennedy received assurances that it would be Kavanaugh, his former law clerk, Kennedy felt comfortable retiring. And that tweet's being retweeted and liked, and we were just talking about true or not. It's a discussion that's now swirling around. And this announcement, was it not even 12 hours ago when we heard this announcement? What are your thoughts, Quinn?
My thoughts are every single indication was that Trump really kept changing his mind almost every hour for the last week. And he would not have been changing his mind again and again if he had already committed to Kavanaugh, made some sort of deal for Kavanaugh. So I think this is nonsense. Now, do I think it's possible that Justice Kennedy wanted assurances that his guys, Kavanaugh and Kethledge, would be on the final short list and actually get interviewed by Trump? And maybe so. But I don't think, I mean, I really think there were several times when Trump came very close to deciding on others, on Hardiman, on Kethledge, and on Barrett, and then came back to Kavanaugh. And so I just don't believe it was anything like such a hard and fast deal.
I have to say that a lighthearted moment, though. I love when he gave his daughter a side high five. That was pretty cute.
This one reads.
No, this one plays sports and likes to read. And this one likes to play sports and talks.
Yeah, and I love the picture of him with, it looked like a junior high Catholic League basketball.
That's what it was.
Oh, yeah, Coach K.
Yeah, exactly, because I've got a picture like that, having coached my nieces, as you and I talked about the other day, Kelly.
That's right.
And it just looked, he looked just as, like as much of a schlub as I did.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I love, because I'm all, you know, from the family aspect, because you think about, of course, yes, you know, the news, we need to know about the nominee, we need to know their background, but when you get to hear about their family side, it makes them a little more like you and me, and how he thanked his wife, and he acknowledged how his mom, you know, what she went through, putting herself through law school, and just the background of this hardworking family. So it was interesting to see that other side.
This is something that I can tell you, and that nobody will deny. It is just very well known on among the sort of DC legal community that Brett Kavanaugh really, he gets really good clerks, and he treats them really, really well. His clerks, his law clerks, are absolutely devoted to him, and he's had a number of them now through 12 years. And you know, some judges are not like that, but he really, really gets to know, really cares about, works them hard, but really is just a genuinely good guy. He's a good boss. He's just a good and decent fella, and I think that shone through last night.
That means he has no chance inside the up on Capitol Hill. Quinn, remind folks they want to get a copy of Mad Jones Heretic. How they do it?
There are two of them now. Book two is
out. Oh yeah, that's
so
right.
Mad Jones Heretic and Mad Jones Hero at Amazon.com. The first two books of the trilogy. Please get the second one, Mad Jones Hero. There's a lot of stuff that really, really goes hard against what Trump calls fake news. There's a big scene where the hero turns the tables on a really bad media guy. So it might work well in today's climate.
There we go. Quinn, as always, we appreciate it. Coming right back. More of Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5.
Good morning, 8:37 on FM Talk 106.5. And right now I'm delighted to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to sales manager Brian Gardner. Good morning, Brian.
Hey, good morning, Dalton.
So tell us what's going on at McConnell Automotive today.
Man, a lot of great things. We've got some fantastic deals, especially in the Buick lineup right now. We've got the percent play is back. We've got 18% off 2018 Buick Encores right now. That's going to save you a ton of money. These things start around $25,000. You start taking 18% off of those, that's some great, great savings. That gets you into affordable payment. The granddaddy of the Buicks, I've got 12% off Buick Enclave right now, and I'm starting to build up inventory on those. I've got about 15 of those in stock. I still have great closeout pricing on 2018 Sierras right now. Save you a bunch of money on that. And if you combo that with our courtesy transportation Sierras, we will save you any more. Also have great inventory on Yukons, over 40 in stock right now. So get by and see us before 7 tonight. We've got fantastic inventory. We've got great pricing. We've got everything that you're looking for. Come see us.
All right. Appreciate it, Brian. Have a good one.
All right, guys. See you now.
That's Brian Gardner. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
Right, 8:38 FM Talk 106.5. Taking your phone calls. Also, a reminder, too, today, last day to get registered for the Summer Better Than Others contest at Bike Boards Liberty Safes.
That's right. Today, the last day there, and then we've got 1 week to go after today before the Big Daddy Prize is announced. We'll announce the winner of the grand prize next Thursday, but today is the last day you can register at Mike Ward's Liberty Safes, and then tomorrow we'll move the box to one more location. You'll want to stay tuned to facebook.com/FMTalk106.5. As well as our website and all of our other social media profiles. We'll announce where the next box will go. But today, if you want to get registered at Mike Ward's Liberty Safes, you've got until they close.
Okay. All right. So that's happening today. Talking about this week. And by the way, we'll take your calls, whether it be on the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh, also Mobile City Council today, possibly to vote on funding for the proposed stadium at USA, also for the train station to get the drawings done for the train station. I'll get into that. But also, let's lay out the week, because I know I'm looking over at Kelly Finley wearing her visor with a Marlin on it this morning.
Oh, yes.
There's
a big
reason.
Weekend. Yeah, yes. Blue Marlin Grand Championship.
So you're getting ready for the big broadcast?
Yes. With my TV partner, Jim Cox.
Yes. So you and Jimmy doing the show for the, what is the Super Bowl of sport fishing, right? The Blue Marlin Grand Championship.
The greatest show.
Yes, the greatest show in sport fishing, and it's getting kicked off at the end of this week. And to celebrate, I'm going to do a first time ever for Midday Mobile.
What?
And we've been talking about, I hope I'm not, I think we got all the engineering worked out, because Midday Mobile Thursday, well, I'll be on a boat. Actually, I'm going to be on a yacht.
Ooh.
As the teams get ready to head on out for the Blue Marlin Grand Championship. And so we are taking, and I'm going to hopefully just keep it away from the salt, the broadcast gear. We've worked through the details here. So we're going to take the remote broadcast and do the show from one of the Pace yachts with the tournament.
Are you going to try to hit international waters so that you can say whatever you want on, on Thursday's Midday Mobile?
Yeah, but see, the transmitter's still here stateside. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's, well, I'd be welcoming, the FCC would welcome me home. Yes.
So being part of the war family, I knew about that before they asked you.
Yeah.
And all I said was...
Yeah. What? Please don't do this.
No. I said, let him be. Let him do this. I mean, this is like a dream come true for you. He just may not leave the vessel when the show is over. That's all I put out there.
92-foot sports fishing yacht, right. Yes.
Yeah, this year is going to be a lot of... we have new bells and whistles coming up this weekend. I won't ruin the surprise, but it's going to be great Friday, Saturday, and into Sunday.
Some of those bells and whistles happen to ring up to over $2 million in cash awards.
Mm-hmm. Going to be in the winner's circle and calling out some times and fishes. And
all right.
It's going to be good. And we're going to be on air and online as well.
That's right. So we'll be checking out the TV. See, here, this is how they do it. They go, okay, line up here, broadcasters. Mrs. Finley, TV. Mr. Sullivan, radio.
No, don't try it.
So we're going to, but yeah, so you're going to be down there. I'm going to be down there. Mm-hmm. And that is coming up this week, as well as coming up this weekend. I'm going to be switching gears back to the smaller boats. The center consoles that I've run for some fishing with kids. Of course, it is the Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament with the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Saturday will be the kids' tournament. And, of course, starting on Friday, a week from Friday, will be the 85th Annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. So you want tournaments to come watch, and both of them are really good events. Mm-hmm. Come watch Blue Marlin Grand Championship, because the show is huge and how it's done down there. And also live music and entertainment throughout the rodeo coming up a week from Friday. Got bands every night. Mm. Of course, the fish to see, all those kind of things. So great stuff to have going on in South Baldwin and South Mobile County over the next couple weeks.
And just one more thing.
Yes.
You know, St. Jude benefits from the Blue Marlin Grand Championship. As much fun as there is, and of course we're talking about the purse that's attached.
Yes.
The fact that you're helping to save lives and support families, that's a big deal. And we also get to feed people, because once the Blue Marlin are weighed,
yes,
they have a special place that they go to.
There
and
you
they
go.
Feed hundreds.
And it's a great tournament, and it's one that's renowned nationally, as is Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, which is the planet's largest multi-day fishing tournament.
Ooh.
The Guinness World Book of Records.
I like the way you say that.
Yeah, well, it's that's right here at home. So big stuff coming up. And by the way, too, also at Dean McCrary on Friday with Midday Mobile. So the second half of this week, I'm going to be traveling with the show a good bit. bit and heading out. And then coming up Tuesday, of course, we have the runoffs in the primaries. And let me ask this question, because I'm, you know, do this very casually, this radio show. We're considering doing a broadcast from maybe 8 to 10 Tuesday night as results come in. What I usually do on Twitter, we're thinking about taking that show not only to Twitter, but also here on the radio. If that would be of interest, let me know on the text line if y'all be digging that.
I vote yes.
You don't get to vote.
Yes, I can. I'm registered, thank you.
You work here. You don't get to vote.
I'm registered.
You're not here, you aren't. Not here. None of us get to vote. It's y'all. Would you be digging on that as Jeff Poore and some others from the state in the political realm would join me, do a roundtable here as the results come in? Because there's some very tight races here. If you look in, obviously, because they're in runoffs, but you look in the statewide races, lieutenant governor. You look at the attorney general's race, the even agricultural commission commissioner. These are very, very tight. That's because they're in the runoff. And what will go on with that as results come in, plus all the local races going on. Baldwin County, big Senate race going on in the runoff. We'll talk about that. Also, Baldwin County commission race in the mix. We've got judicial races going on. So there's actually, for a runoff, a whole bunch to talk about coming up a week from tonight.
So you see why I vote. And I want to tell you, you want a coworker, teammate, employee who votes for something, because that means they're all in.
I don't want to encouragement around here. I don't want to do that. So y'all can let us know on the phone line or the text line, 343-0106. Just trying to gauge that, 343-0106. All right, Mobile City Council today, most likely, I never say they will vote because often they will table things or move things, but maybe they will be voting on giving money to USA from the city coffers for this proposed stadium out on campus. Also, another part of the discussion, $233,000 to get some drawings done of a proposed platform.
Is it three R's or two?
Drawings. It might be three R's in drawings. And as they propose this train station, this terminal that would be here for passenger rail, they just pretty much have to sign off on it to get the grant money. But those are two things that are on the docket. We'll talk more about that with you when we come back. Hey, thank you, Kane. 852 FM Talk 1065. Check in on Maximus. Oh. No, I don't mean, it's not Gladiator Talk. That show is a podcast we do late at night. This is talking about Kelly's latest Mazda.
Yeah, he's so beautiful. And now that you've been talking about the Wharf and this weekend, I have managed to speak to Greg over at Mazda and have asked for Maximus for one more day.
Okay.
I'm taking him to the Wharf today because we're doing, we have a shoot scheduled for our big, you know, tournament this weekend. So this is part of the production aspect of it. So Maximus will be seen in more videos and more pictures. I tweeted out some new pictures this morning because a lot of times, if you're like me, you're visual, and you hear what we're talking about, but you want to see it. So if you check out Twitter at Kelly K2K Finley, you will see where I show you the five-star rating system, as well as Dalton. I know we talked earlier last week about the USB port and the SD card and the aux. All of that, I show you what that looks like in the vehicle because we have children, we have spouses, we have family members who need to stay connected. These are things that you need to know. And then also when we talk about the great gas mileage that you get from this vehicle, especially if you're a commuter, this is something that really will appeal to you. So check that out. You can see the pictures. But yeah, Maximus, that's what I've named him. He's silver. He's got quite the trunk space. Hence the name Maximus. 2018 Mazda 3 hatchback touring. I have been just loving, you know, from the front of the hood to the back of the car, because as a Fab Five, we're in the mood to check out vehicles, wanting to see what we can do as our family grows. So I just get to give you the feedback. Also, some of the must-knows when you hop online, because many of you like to do your research online, you'll see multifunction commander control, infotainment system, voice command, AHA internet, radio integration, HD radio, Pandora, Stitcher, SMS, text message, audio delivery, and reply. So all that in this guy, and he won't break the bank. If you'd like more information, go ahead and go visit the all-new Dean McCurry Mazda dealership. They're located on the East Service Road of I-65, which we will be at on Friday, and you will also get to see my new vehicle that day.
All right, very good. Let's go to the phones. And Gary is in Mobile, and first up, hey, Gary.
Hey, good morning, Sean.
Morning. And Dalton and Kelly. There's three of us here.
Yes, Dalton, everybody. Yeah, I just don't want to mess up anybody's names.
It's Kelly.
Hey, hi. I know you've spoke a lot about the this proposal of the stadium at South, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of good reasons to have a stadium on campus. But one aspect I think we might have missed so far in this discussion is all those reasons are good for South, and that's fine. It's their college. But none of those reasons are good for the city of Mobile. Because let's look at the history. Mobilians, self-included, don't support local teams. And as long as there's a Saturday afternoon in October and the state of Alabama has a football team in red and white in Tuscaloosa and they're on TV, everybody in Mobile is going to choose to watch that game on the big screen at home than go to a South game, even if that South game was free.
Okay, let's do this. It's almost like I'm on cable news where they have a whole waiting room of experts on any subject. So let me go to graduate of the University of South Alabama and Dalton chiming in here.
Well, I agree with Gary in a lot of ways. I think that if there's a big SEC game, especially if it's Alabama or Auburn playing, it's tough to get locals that maybe aren't as attached to the University of South Alabama out to those games. And I do think that having the stadium there benefits South way more than it does the city of Mobile. But also, think of the two biggest events that have come to Mobile in the last 3.5 years. Donald Trump coming to Ladd Peebles Stadium. If they take down Ladd Peebles Stadium, and maybe not Donald Trump, but if some other big name wants to come to Mobile and needs a big stadium to fit everybody into it, whether it's a concert act or another presidential candidate, the city of Mobile benefits from that. So in a way, this could be big for the city of Mobile because they will need somewhere to place people if another big name comes through town. But I agree with you that it benefits South way more than it does the city or county of Mobile.
Let me just argue with both of y'all because I can't stand it. And not that I truly believe it, but let me throw this in the mix. Well, the city is going to get the $2.5 million, which I now have figured out, and we'll talk about on the midday how that works, why they would want the $2.5 million back instead of just taking it off the top. They get the $2.5 billion back to build this really good high school mm-hmm. level stadium down there. And also, you are growing the pie instead of cutting it up. If you put this stadium on campus, you get more people. I think what you're talking about is so true, Gary, but if you build a culture, you know, with kids going to South now, or maybe kids that went there that now are grown-ups, want to go back there and build, you have a chance of building, with a campus stadium, you have a chance of building something new. It may take a long time, but you do have a chance of building something, and that could mean more revenue for the city. So, I mean, it's just, there's a lot of nuance to this. I mean, I absolutely see what you're saying. I follow what you and Dalton are saying. At the same time, maybe there's an argument to be made that this grows the entire pie.
I think as far as the actual attendance at games, I think it'll go way up with this new stadium. And I think that's just because there will be more students from the from the University of South Alabama going to games now. I mean, you have 15, 16,000 enrolled there, and I don't think near enough students were going to the games will go to the games these next couple years while it's still at Ladd Peebles Stadium. I think just having it on campus alone will up the attendance numbers at the game, but that benefit goes to the University of South Alabama, not the city and county of Mobile.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is a question of where the city's money will be spent, because on the other side of the ledger, city is arguing that they're on for all these deferred maintenance costs on Ladd Peebles. So does it get them out of that problem? It's just one of those questions we are pondering around here.
And if I had to guess, I mean, maybe it'll go down without a hitch today at the Mobile City Council meeting. Maybe they'll go ahead and vote and they'll either turn it down or they'll agree to send that $10 million, $7.5 million back to South Alabama. I feel like something's going to come up today and this thing will be pushed off again. Just a gut feeling that I have.
I think it's important to note that whatever happens, at least we're acknowledging that the city has needs and wants that they want to be able to enjoy the city as the city grows. More people are knowing and learning about Mobile and staying in Mobile, and they don't want to take their money outside of the city or maybe the state. They want to support local.
So. All right. Let's see. Thomas, we got about 30 seconds here, Thomas.
Yeah, well, I agree with you, Sean. They'd be building a new fan base, and it'd be millennials at the school, which we know are a lot smarter than the old Alabama faithful. Thank you.
There you go. There's his gig of the day, right? All right. Thank you, Thomas.
appreciate that.
All right. All right. We'll do it all again. 3 hours for Midday Mobile. We'll do this show again 6 tomorrow morning.
Are you submitting this for the tunnel?
No, this is just, you're talking about any weekend music. In October. This is Jason Isbell. He mentions that in Alabama Pines, and I like the song, and, you know, I got control of the board, so. Well, I needed that damn woman like a dream needs gasoline, and I tried to be some angel kind of man, one that's never seen.